A thin volume sits on a shelf, barely noticed among thick bestsellers and glossy self-help guides. Yet this modest book has shaped the thinking of generals, presidents, and anyone who's ever wondered why humanity keeps making the same catastrophic mistakes. Written by a military historian who predicted World War II's major developments with eerie accuracy, it asks a question that haunts us still. If we know history, why do we keep repeating it? The answer isn't comforting. We fail not because we lack information, but because we're psychologically wired to ignore uncomfortable truths. We choose comforting lies over harsh realities, loyalty over honesty, and short-term expediency over long-term wisdom. This pattern runs through every war, every failed government, every collapsed empire, and through our own lives when we ignore lessons we've already learned. Think of history as humanity's collective memory, 3,000 years of trial and error, brilliance and folly, all recorded for our benefit. Yet we treat it like a dusty textbook rather than a survival manual. History's real value isn't providing exact blueprints for the future. It's revealing the patterns of human behavior that repeat across centuries. Technologies change, but human nature remains remarkably constant. Napoleon knew the moral is to the physical as 3-1. Weapons change, but the psychology of conflict remains constant. Accurate World War II predictions came from recognizing these patterns, not mystical foresight. When we study responses to crisis in 1914 or 1812, we're studying ourselves. The same fears, ambitions, and blind spots driving ancient Romans still drive modern politicians. History offers something rare, learning from mistakes we didn't make, gaining wisdom without paying experience's full price. Yet much of what we call historical record is fiction, not always intentional lies, but curated versions making powerful people look good. World War I commanders routinely destroyed embarrassing documents and fabricated heroic orders. Committee decisions often hinged on proximity to lunchtime. Hungry members rushed choices shaping nations. Physical ailments, personal grudges, and domestic troubles influenced momentous decisions, yet these human factors rarely appear in official records. Hermit historians who rely solely on documents miss crucial reality. They overvalue papers written to deceive while ignoring messy, accidental factors that actually drove events. Good history requires both scientific rigor and imaginative insight, the ability to read between lines and recognize what's been deliberately hidden. When German historians pursued pure scientific objectivity, they produced history so dull nobody read it, creating a vacuum filled by dangerous myths that helped enable Nazism. Behind every powerful leader stand advisors the public never knows. Lord Esher wielded remarkable influence before World War I, despite declining high offices. During World War II, Harry Hopkins and Professor Lindemann determined national direction for Roosevelt and Churchill while remaining largely invisible. These shadow advisors often hold more actual power than elected officials, yet face no public accountability. Power in democracies operates differently than constitutional theory suggests. Small, informal gatherings and dinner parties frequently outweigh formal committees, with intimate circles shaping decisions before they reach official bodies for mere ratification. Military training deliberately cultivates unquestioning faith. Soldiers need it to charge into danger, yet this same quality enables catastrophic errors. Trained to dismiss criticism by questioning motives rather than truth, this mindset infects institutions, creating a conspiracy for mutual inefficiency that protects mistakes rather than corrects them. During World War I, Field Marshal Haig concealed unfavorable facts and exaggerated successes, sacrificing thousands at Passchendaele to claim victory before American forces arrived. Even honorable men deceive themselves, surrounding themselves with subordinates who tell them what they want to hear. Career ambition trumps integrity. Officers stay silent to protect pensions and children's education. When someone warned General Joffe about neglected defenses at Verdun, he indignantly demanded the whistleblower's name, declaring that bypassing hierarchy disturbs profoundly the spirit of discipline. 2 months later, his doctrine of infallibility collapsed with tragic consequences, though ironically, the whistleblower became an early victim while Joffe temporarily gained fresh laurels. History vindicates critics once rebuked, yet authorities repeat mistakes. Democracy favors conventionality, excluding first-rate ability with honesty. Despotism ensures stupidity's triumph, making democracy the lesser evil. What's worth defending isn't democracy's perfection, but its tradition of freedom, the guarantee of civilization's vitality. Dictators follow a consistent playbook: exploit dissatisfaction, make unlimited promises, claim temporary power, eliminate helpers by branding them traitors, suppress criticism, manipulate currency, start wars to divert attention, and weaponize patriotism. Napoleon's Russian campaign illustrates power's effect on the dictator's mind. Against advisors' counsel, he invaded Russia with 450,000 troops, predicting victory within 2 months. By November, 50,000 remained. Exactly 129 years later, Hitler proved mankind's great men don't learn from history. Authoritarian regimes sometimes deliver quick reforms that democracies neglect, temporarily stimulating community service. Yet bad means lead to no good end. Authoritarianism censors criticism and subordinates truth to state expediency, leading to stagnation. Even democracies face threats through excessive security measures preventing oversight. History teaches that compulsion ultimately fails. While preventing actions is feasible, forcing positive action generates friction and evasion. Efficiency springs from enthusiasm, which is spontaneous and incompatible with compulsion. Military conscription proved inefficient as warfare became technical and dependent on initiative. During World War I, the least free states collapsed first, while Australia's volunteer corps became the best fighting force. War's germs flourish among those directing nations, inflamed by power. World I's origins reveal that while economic factors predisposed conflict, human nature, possessiveness, competitiveness, vanity, and pugnacity provided deeper causes. The Kaiser's vanity and complex feelings toward England significantly influenced events. Austria and Russia, nursing past humiliations, risked millions suffering rather than swallow injured pride. Complete victory breeds resentment and new rivals, never lasting peace. True victory achieves better peace than before war, possible only through swift resolution or proportionate effort. After prolonged conflicts, survivors agree there were no victors, only common losers. Wellington exemplified wise peacemaking, protecting French civilians and opposing Prussia's vengeful demands. His moderation secured lasting peace because he understood war's purpose was peace itself, unlike Napoleon, who fell in love with war. The optimism of London's 1851 Great Exhibition, heralding a golden age through scientific progress, became nightmare. Science transformed conditions more in a century than the previous two millennia, yet nations wield these powers as recklessly as primitive weapons. War germs focus in the belief that the end justifies the means, but history shows bad means deform the end. What can we learn? Not what to do, but what to strive for and avoid. The smallest permanent enlargement of thought surpasses material construction that crumbles or conquests that collapse. We fail to learn not because lessons are unclear, but because they're uncomfortable, requiring us to admit error, question authority, and choose principle over expediency. In a world repeating mistakes with increasingly dangerous weapons, choosing clarity and decency isn't naive. It's the only practical path forward.